All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks are doing local podcasts. Good morning. Actually, it's afternoon, but good afternoon. April the 13th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. We have another one of those kind of days, sort of warm. Weekend was okay. Beautiful weekend, in fact. A little chilly. Today's a little warmer, but overcast, right? It's always, you can't get quite everything. You can get a warm day, but it's overcast, or a beautiful sunny day, and it's chilly. So, but that's what time of the year it is, right? It's spring for you. That's spring in a nutshell. But I thought I would come upstairs and see if we could do a chat it up a bit. I just actually got home from a meeting. A Monday meeting at noon, and it was great. Great meeting. It's always, you know, I do enjoy the Monday noon meeting. Excuse me. It's always it is a literature meeting. It's on the big book, and sometimes, you know, if I'm making a list of reasons why not to go to this meeting, that would probably be on there, because sometimes I get a little tired of the stories out of the big book, just because sometimes I don't find them relative or I can relate to them. Different time, obviously, in the 30s, 40s, or whatever, but definitely a long time ago. But I pushed through. Right, I went to a meeting the other day, and the guy says, or someone said, you share a lot. And I said, yeah, because the voices tell me not to, right? Well, the voices tell me not to go to this meeting. But I do. I enjoy the meeting. I enjoy the people. I enjoy hitting a noon meeting. As I've gotten older, I'm not as much of a fan of the evening meetings. And I also just have a family that, like, I don't know if they want me here, but they just feel better when I'm around. So if I can hit a noon meeting, I do, and try to free up our night. Kids are getting older, and they like to do different things. So whatever. I went to the noon meeting. It was a great meeting. In fact, there was no reading out of the literature. It was a lady's 41st. Actually, I don't know. She may have had 39. I think it was either 39 or 41 years of recovery. And, you know, that's always pretty awesome. But, you know, of course she shared, and she didn't share much about any of the recovery, right? She shared about, unfortunately, the sad events that have taken place in her life with other family members who were not as lucky, right? Because we are lucky. This is, I know for me, I am very lucky. I'm very grateful. I would not be doing what I do today, sitting where I am at, had I not been lucky enough, right, to have somebody offer a helping hand. And but of course, her story did not end up like that. And the person that was in her life passed away due to this disease. And, you know, I am, you know, I, as a teenager, you know, and it was interesting because the person that they had lost was adopted. And, you know, I was an adopted kid. Barcode. But I had a very great life. You know, my parents were wonderful. I was very lucky. But I had definitely had a lot of challenges as a young person. And in this lady's story, the person that she was talking about had a lot of challenges, even diagnosed as schizophrenia. You know, I often wonder if I don't have schizophrenia right now. You know, me and these voices, and, you know, the wolves and the devils and all this shit. I used to hear about people talk about the voices and you know, the spirits, and I used to think, man, what a nutcase. Well, I have that. I definitely deal with that. I don't have voices that are like, you know, do this and do that, but I have intuition, I have thoughts, I have feelings. I have my first thought, right? My first thought has never always been very good. In fact, my first thought got me into a lot of situations, and honestly, my first thought could get me into a lot of situations right now. But it was just a, you know, and, you know, one of the things for me, you know, I've never had, luckily, you know, I got sober. My oldest was 1 year. I called him from rehab on his 1 year birthday. Luckily for my kids, up until this point, luckily have never seen me drunk or high or anything like that. I remember when I made that choice to try it again, right? Because I had been sober, and I had been sober, right? I'd been free from the drink, but I did not have serenity. And when my life had all fallen apart, of course, I didn't make this decision on my own, right? I woke up to an empty house. My wife and child were gone, and I had that moment of providence, right? And I don't know if I said it in this meeting, but I was at another meeting, and in the story it said, "Providence will present," right? Providence will present. Let me make sure. I know that's what it said. Providence will present. And at that time, you know, Providence presented me an opportunity, and I took it. And and thank God, you know, luckily through the program, working hard, showing up, doing all the things, and being very committed, because that was one of the things that I did not want to do, was be a drunk parent. And, you know, luckily up until this point, that's, you know, I've never had a drink since. And, you know, my son will be turning 21 this year. And you know, I'm really grateful for that. But one of the things, like, you know, when I learned and first come into the program was, you know, stay in the day. One day at a time, stay in the day. And this is, you know, this is being told to a guy that never stayed in the day, right? It was always what I was or what I was going to be or what happened back then or what's going to happen next. But I could not talk about anything in the day because that guy in the day had no chance of doing anything. I was taken over by a spirit, and that spirit was alcohol. So when I came to the program, one of the things that was first told me is we have to stay in the day. And I am a guy that will come home, sit on the couch, watch TV, and I will start. And I picture it as a hallway, right? Just a long hall. And I just start opening doors, right? I'm opening doors, looking for trouble, right? You know, prior to getting sober, I would walk. It didn't take long to walk down a hall in my head and open a door and find trouble. But luckily, through the steps and working a program, I don't have a lot of trouble today. So what I tend to do is I'll make up shit, right? And one of the things that I always seem to want to make up is the loss of a child. You know, I have three kids, and I don't know what it is, right? It's just the disease. You know, it just, you know, it says in the first step, fear made us like this. Well, this disease always wants me to go make some fear, some worry, some what ifs, some feelings, right? And one of them is sometimes I imagine the loss of a child. And immediately, you know, my heart breaks and I start going through all the scenarios and all the people giving me condolences. And I'm like, hold on, right? You have not had a child that's died. You are just making shit up. telephone line. I spent the weekend listening to Electric Light Orchestra. And amazing. If you are on Spotify or whatever platform, go find ELO and find the best of ELO or the This Is ELO. And what an amazing band, amazing songs. I mean, I'm listening to this playlist and I'm like, God, this is a great song. I remember this song. You know, I think of a few songs that I remember from ELO, but what a hit maker. So, Telephone Line, ELO, what a great, great, great band. So, but yes, you know, I make up shit and then I react and I suffer. And I guess, you know, if that's what I choose to do, then that's what I choose to do. But what happens is it creates fear and worry. And I start making decisions or thoughts based on these figments of my imagination. And they're usually pretty, you know, severe, like the loss of a child, right? Why would anybody make that up? Right? But that's the kind of thing that this alcoholic does. I make up situations and scenarios, and then I run in like the hero. And it's all fake. Fake, fake, fake. Make believe. I'm just making myself believe. And then I react. And then I live in fear. So, you know, and I did that for a while, and I still do it. You know, I'll still try to open up doors and find shit that doesn't exist, and I make trouble for myself, and it's just a waste of freaking time. And, you know, what I'll usually do is I'm like, okay, if you want to persist with this, I may have shared this in the podcast, but I picture my sort of my day as like a desk, right? And I'm sitting at a desk right now, and everything that's sort of appropriate or taking place for this day is on this desk. And if I make stuff up, because I do, you know, whether it's that or, you know, client interactions or traffic or whatever it is, you know, I will say, okay, I'm just going to put that on the desk and I'll come back to it. how stupid, right? How silly. But me making shit up is silly and stupid as well. So I figured out if I can just say out loud, I'll put that aside and I'll come back to it. And usually it leaves. It usually leaves. And then if I choose to go back to it, you know, then there it is. But by then I usually go, what are you doing, man? You need to stay in the day. Stop making shit up, right? Stop creating fear and worry. And stop being the hero that comes rushing in to save the day, because you're not. And these things don't exist. And so, you know, today's meeting was a lot about reflection. And I guess maybe when a person shares at an anniversary, I guess maybe that's a green light to reflect over the last 20 or 30 years, I suppose. But you know, I don't find that it does much good, right? And it always seems, and no offense, right? No offense, but it always seems like the people that have the 30, 40 years, they never really talk much about recovery. They really don't. I know that there are, and thank you, but it just seems like some of, it's a better way of life. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like this is just a better, easier, softer way, and there's not always a lot of conversation of what got you there, what brought you to this place, right? And it's always recovery. You know, I was at a meeting on Friday. I know I haven't done the podcast since Friday. I was at a meeting on Friday, and there was a lady there that spoke, and she, of course, started crying because she is new to the area, and she shared that she's having a lot of trouble connecting with women. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Right? I mean, I don't get the fact of connecting with women, but I understand when I remember moving over to Easton, Maryland, and I had this great group here in town, and everywhere I went, every grocery store I went to, I would see somebody in recovery. I always felt, for a while, I was just blown away that I actually knew so many people through recovery, but I felt safe, right? I had a routine. And I took that job over in Easton, and I was completely out of my element. And my sponsor said, you know, find a home group, right? And I was like, yes, yes, I will. And I didn't. But I had a lot of trouble connecting with people. And, you know, so I can relate, right? And after the meeting, I told her, I go, man, you know, thank you for saying that. You know, because everybody in this, there's probably a handful of people in this room that feel the same way. Because that is the, You know, that unfortunately is what will unwind us out of this program. And this person had quite a bit of time, but from a different town, right? Had a great, you know, foundation of people, great group, great herd, and comes over here and just feels completely lost. And, you know, she was really upset. And, you know, there is some magic to saying that kind of stuff out loud, right? Because I will make up a situation and then I will just chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it and react and emotionally go on an emotional roller coaster because of it, right? Because this disease that I have, right, the spirit, it doesn't want me to say it out loud. It doesn't want me to confess that I'm struggling or that I'm worried because, right, I have a lot of time. I've been doing this for a long time, right? I can't start saying I'm having trouble. Or at least that's what the voices tell me in my head. Do not say anything, right? And, you know, and during my share, because I, you know, when I go to a meeting, I always share. I don't care. And someone said, you sure share a lot. And I said, yeah, because the voices tell me not to. And I don't really share a lot. I try to share if I'm at a meeting. But I can remember early recovery. I can remember, you know, midlife recovery. I didn't want to share at all. And I had 100 voices telling me 100 good reasons why not to. You have nothing good to say. You haven't been sober long enough. You haven't, you know, it doesn't, you know, I remember going to these round robin meetings and they would just call on people. I'm like, please don't call on me. Please don't call on me. Please don't. Tom. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, I had nothing to say. Right. But today I've been doing this long enough. I do like to share my experience. Right. And, you know, whether it helps people or not, but I can tell you, there's also a voice that's still telling me you got nothing to say. But you know, I went to a meeting a couple weeks ago. It's the Wednesday meeting. And I know I talked about it in the podcast, but you know, I was running late. I got there late. There was no place to park. I couldn't stay. There was literally no place to park. So I left. You know, there's been times in my recovery where that would have been a great reason to not go to that meeting anymore, right? Because that's exactly what happened to me when I moved to Easton. It wasn't convenient enough, right? I remember the way they collected the money basket. And I say it and I feel silly saying it, but it was something like that, right? I didn't like, why are they collecting the money in the beginning of the meeting? That usually happens at the end of the meeting. And the voice is like, well, we can't go there, right? And the voice is like, well, I can't go to that Wednesday meeting anymore because there's no place to park, right? Whatever it is out there, it doesn't want me to go to meetings. It doesn't want me to struggle. It wants me to stay home. And it wants me to create imaginary thoughts in my head, and it wants me to react and reflect and live in the past or the future or just imagination world. It doesn't want me in reality. The reality is you got to the meeting late. You were running late. This is what happens. Next week we'll just be early. Right? That's usually not the solution that's fed to me. But I had to say it out loud. I said it in a meeting. You know, I came to this meeting last week and there was no place to park. And I was like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to that meeting anymore. It's crazy. You know, one of the most helpful things was told to me was stay in the day, right? And, you know, it goes along with that, my prayer, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you, right? And because that's all I can handle. Everything else falls off, right? Everything else falls off and it becomes the future or the past or something. And I just can't handle it. I can only deal with what's going on right now. Of course, sometimes I put a toe into the future or the past and it, you know, but I usually get bit, right? I'm usually all of a sudden, you know, like imagining something bad happening to one of my kids and then living in that. It's like, oh my God, what are you doing? Your kids are fine. It's like losing my job, a car, whatever it is, taxes. Oh my God, that was another one. I've had, for the last year, I've had a few things that have come up that have really been great kindling for a really big fire that I didn't need to have. You know, taxes was one of them. You know, I've got a car, I've got, you know, my lease is up. you know, due to the fact that my dad has been sick, I've been doing way more driving than I usually do. My miles are over in my lease. I'm like, every day I'm thinking about this freaking lease. Oh, and I'm like, you know what? Just chill. It'll work out. It'll work out. The taxes. I shared in the taxes. Oh, my God. I was like, how am I going to do this? I'm like, you know, the deadline is in 2 days, right? But for the last 6 months, I've been, how am I going to pay these taxes? And how am I going to do this? And it's like, it'll work out. And it worked out. And in fact, it worked out way better than I thought. You know, I was like, okay, this is the way it is. And I just got to do it. And, you know, there's, you know, they're talking about fraud and people aren't paying their taxes. And I'm like, I'm going to pay them. I got to pay them. This isn't, that's just another reason, right? Oh, well, somebody said, and I could hear myself saying this when I was like 17. Well, I heard somebody say that, you know, they weren't going to pay taxes because of fraud. Not a good excuse, right? And so, you know, I'm wearing myself out and I have to keep reminding myself, stay in the day, man. Don't pick up a drink. You know, like my buddy Matt used to say, don't smoke crack. As long as you're not paying for hookers and smoking crack, it'll be fine. And it's always fine. It always works out. But I love to create the drama, and that's just, that's rough. And so, you know, cut the story short there, this whole meeting was about reflection. And I was like getting a little bit frustrated, which is a character defect. And but I stuck it out, and it was, you know, it turned out to be a great meeting, and she did sort of wrap it all in together into recovery. And I do appreciate her. She's, you know, wonderful group up there. And listen, you got to sit up there and share your story. Who knows what's going to come out? And so it was really great. Another cool thing is me and my sponsees, a couple of them at least, we started reading Drop the Rock. Drop the Rock, which is an amazing book. If you haven't read it, you should. Well, I found it to be a very helpful book. If you're struggling with the 6 and 7 step with character defects and shortcomings, when I was leaving this meeting, you know, a buddy of mine announced today that on Saturdays at 5:30 here at the place where I go, they are starting a Drop the Rock meeting. And he was telling me he's got, I don't know, 30 years. He goes, I still struggle with 6 and 7. And this is a guy that's like, and it's so funny because in the Drop the Rock book, which I have read, but I didn't remember it saying that 6 and 7 are the same. They just didn't feel like changing the words or something to that effect. I don't feel like that. It was shocking. And, you know, I don't feel like that. I think 6 and 7 are two different types of character defects. You know, for me, the sixth step is public. And the seventh step to me is private. And there's a big difference, right? Because the sixth, you know, the things that I do when people can see me at meetings, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing, people can call me out on it. Hey, you know, you did this. Or, hey, you know, you did this. You should be more aware. And I'm like, oh, my God, yes, thank you. And, you know, it's those moments with my peers that have changed quite a few of my character defects. But it's the private ones that nobody sees. It's the private one that says, hey, we're not going to go back to this meeting because there's no place to park. It's the private one that says, hey, I'm not going to go back to that meeting because of the way they collect the money. You know, it's these little things that pop up. You know, it's my behavior on the road. It's my first thought that I have not been able to completely remove. You know, one of the cool things that was told me is go on your second thought. How many times could my life be different had I gone on the second thought? Right, or the third thought even. You know, my buddy texts me the other day. He's like, I think I'm just going to stop making the house payment and let this place burn. I'm like, well, why don't you make that decision tomorrow? Right? Why don't you sleep on that and see if you feel the same way? And I think he woke up and felt differently. But it is, you know, that first thought. You know, that's the shortcomings. Is it the beginning of a character defect or is it the end of a character defect? You know, when I used to talk about how I'd go visit my buddy Matt, and, you know, a character defect of mine, which nobody saw, was that when I would drive over to Matt's house, I would have one hand on the wheel with the music turned up without a seatbelt, going too fast, cutting in and out of traffic. And then as soon as I pulled up to Matt's house, I would put on my seatbelt, I'd turn down the music, I would put my hands at 10 and 2. And when Matt got in the car, he'd be like, to his mind, he'd be like, oh, this guy's really got his behavior under control. And then we would go to the meeting. And then, of course, after the meeting, I would drop him off and slide back down in the chair, take off the seatbelt, one hand on the wheel, and turn the music up. You know, and the character defect was I wanted to appear like I was doing better to my sponsor than having to actually do the work. And those are one of those things where you're like, all of a sudden you have a friend that's completely lost his shit. And you're like, what happened? You seemed like everything was so good. Yeah, well, I was a seemed like everything was so good kind of guy. And that's character defect. I think it's natural. I think it happens to a lot of people. But, you know, it's not being honest. And, you know, when me and my buddy started reading it this weekend, I love that story of Mary. You know, Mary trying to get to the boat. You know, where's the boat going? Serenity Island. Who's in the boat? A group of people, right? A group. And they see Mary trying to swim, and they're yelling at Mary, drop the rock, Mary, right? And she's drowning, and she finally drops the rock and is able to not only not drown, but to swim to the boat and get in and head over to Serenity Island, which nobody talks about. You know, it bums me out that a lady today with 41 years never mentioned serenity. It's always sobriety, and the definition of sobriety is to be free of drink. But serenity is to be free of fear, right? To be free of think. And it takes a lot of work. And not, I, you know, no one talks about it, which is fine. But, you know, you don't swim back from, you don't come back from Serenity Island in a boat with a group of people. You swim back alone. And you probably drowned. But it's just amazing. And then you start to think, and then I start to think, excuse me, all of the rocks that I carry around my neck. Right? And that's one of them, right? Creating drama in my head and reacting and living in it when it never even happened. That's a lot, you know? Because if I'm in fear, if I'm making up shit and then I'm afraid and worried about it, I'm living in fear. I'm living in self. I'm living in the dark side. I'm not living in peace, free of fear. They're different. So, anyway, great meeting. Redrop the rock. It's really good. Let me see. Let's read the Daily Reflections. And then I'll let you go, man. Let's see. Oh, I'm going to say it out loud one more time. I keep forgetting about the app. Here we go. Today's Daily Reflection. The false comfort of self-pity. Self-pity is one of the most unhappy and consuming defects that we know. It is a bar to all spiritual progress and can cut off all effective communication with our fellows because of its inordinate demands for attention and sympathy. It is a maudlin form of martyrdom, which can ill afford. Yeah. Yes, that's it. Right? That's what I do. I make up shit and then I have self-pity. That's exactly... I love how this always somehow connects. That's As Bill Sees It, page 238. The false comfort of self-pity screens me from reality only momentarily and then demands, like a drug, that I take an even bigger dose. If I succumb to this, it could lead to relapse into drinking. What can I do? One certain antidote is to turn my attention, however slightly at first, toward others who are genuinely less fortunate than me. I preferably others alcoholics, and in the same degree that I actively demonstrate my empathy with them, I will lessen my own exaggerated suffering. That's right. That's beautiful. Hey, I appreciate you letting me share. I hope everyone's having a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye. Give me some time.
no one's answering. Well, can't you just let it ring a little longer, longer, longer? Oh, I'll just sit tight in the shadows of the night. Let it